Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Going in school, and we would sit and they would put the 73 Cup run on the telly and stuff, and we would have lessons focused on the FA Cup because that's how, you know, really everybody was really gripped with the favourite at the time.
It was only 19 years after 1973, and you think about now, if we sort of look back on things like Quinn and Phillips, and it's the same length of time, but it feels like yesterday. So for a lot of people, and obviously you were at that Cup final, so in 73, like you say, and
yeah,
Sunderland
was, yeah.
Fan, only the fourth manager ever to lead Sunderland out at a Cup final, an FA Cup final.
Right.
I bet you when you were there in 1973 watching it, you bet you were dreaming that you would be in Porterfield, but I guess the next best thing is to be the manager of the team in the Cup final for your hometown team.
Yeah, I knew as a player, I don't think I was ever going to get to a Cup final. I didn't think, I think I knew myself I wasn't good enough to play at that level. So yeah, next best thing is you never even think about managing a team and bringing them out here, but you know, like Porterfield and Bob Stoker, when you think of how it's just everybody even today talks about it nearly every day, I think.
Yeah.
Winning the Cup, it's a massive thing for Sunderland, isn't it? And unfortunately, you know, we couldn't do that.
You could have had a statue next to Bob's.
I would have been next to it.
You're given the job on a permanent basis a couple of days before, I think, when we secured our league status, is that right?
I think it was, yeah. I think we were at Blackburn when Bob Murray announced I was being
okay. To draw 2-2 at Blackburn, yeah.
Yeah.
And then we finished the season by drawing 2-2 at Cambridge. Then we have the Cup final.
We're just going to gloss over that.
No. Then we have a Cup final, we'll move on from that. That is lots of little stories and subplots, you know, going around at this point. You're obviously one of them because you'd taken over as caretaker manager. You'd put the second division or first division, it might have been then, or whatever it was, Sunderland side, taking them all away at the Cup final. John Byrne had scored in every single round,
yeah,
up until that point. Graham Souness had taken ill, hadn't he?
Yeah, he had a hard bypass, I think, Graham.
So he wasn't going to lead his team out of Wembley. There were lots of story. There was lots of national and international interest in this Cup final, and again, that was a good Liverpool team, wasn't it?
Well, they had loads of talented players, you know, and if I remember rightly, I'm sure John Barnes was there, and I think he might have been injured. He didn't play. They had a hell of a
team.
Good
Liverpool, Bruce Guabalar in goal, Rob Jones, David Burrows, Steve Nicol, Mark Wright, Jan Molby, Ray Houghton, Steve McManaman, Michael Thomas, Ian Rush, Dean Saunders.
Yeah, not bad, eh? Not bad, that. So, you know, the one thing we worked on, we thought we could score from set players because we knew it was going to be hard in open play, you know, because they were a talented team. But to be fair, in the first half, we matched them. Mm. We were as good. And we could have scored a couple. They could have. But I've never watched the game. I couldn't bear to watch that game again because after they scored the first goal, it just became a real tough job for the boys, you know. And I do look back still and think, I do think there was like some kind of fatigue in there as well. Because for 2 weeks, I think we'd played like 8 games or something ridiculous, 7 games. You know, and if you're a top sportsman, you don't play that many games, top footballers, you know, and it takes a lot out of you. So I think once the goal went in early on in the second half, I just think it sort of knocked them back a lot. And all of a sudden, from being energised, they lost a lot of energy, you know.
Going back slightly to the semi-finals, Portsmouth so close to beating Liverpool. I bet you it was Darren Anderton, wasn't it, I think?
Yeah.
They
went to a replay.
They lost on penalties.
They went to the replay and lost on penalties.
So I bet you must have been thinking, I could be playing Portsmouth in the FA Cup final. What an opportunity that would have been.
I wanted Portsmouth. Yeah. I didn't want Liverpool.
Yeah.
Because Portsmouth, like us, were in the second tier at the time as well. Yeah.
Mind you, I don't think we were that... I don't know how our record is against Portsmouth. I'm not sure if it was that good, to be honest.
Probably better than against Liverpool.
Probably, definitely. But, no, you do. You want Portsmouth. Just like Portsmouth, we're hoping they'd get through and, you know, beat Sunderland. That's the way you look at it. But it wasn't to be. And the next best thing, well, we'll have Liverpool in.
We beat Portsmouth at home that season, 1-0.
Oh, yeah, that was when I was with Dennis, I think. I think I'd gone in as the first team coach and we won 1-0.
Yeah, 1-0. And we lost 1-0 away from home, so quite even with that. Yeah. You talk about sliding doors moments as well. And the story was written for John Byrne to score, and he missed a glorious chance at 0-0. How different? Do you really think it could have been different if you scored that?
Oh, without a doubt, yeah. Yeah, if you score first, you know, it opens the game up. They would have opened the game up as well, Liverpool, so you would have found more space to go and counter-attack Liverpool. But again, it wasn't to be, you know, you're in football and, you know, a long time ago, so you can't, like, keep looking back on these things, really, as a football person, you know, just drive you crazy, so...
Did you have selection dilemmas ahead of that final? It must be. I mean, not as hard as a player being left out, but you've still got to make difficult decisions and think, I'm going to break somebody's heart here by not including them in the squad in some cases.
Well, I mean, I left Kieran Brady out of the squad because I had him on the bench in every game. He'd put weight on and I asked him to lose the weight, and I actually told Kieran, you will either be on the bench or you'll be playing. And that was at least 3 weeks before the cup final. And he put more weight on. So, you know, I was disappointed that somebody would not really grasp that and think, I'm going to be at Wembley and I'm going to be on the bench, at least. So that was disappointing. For me, it was disappointing.
We speak to Kieran regularly and... It's funny that Dennis, when we met him, and you speak about Kieran in exactly the same way. And when I say that, I don't mean in the words you're saying. It's your expression and your body language when you talk about him. It's almost like a frustration, a disappointment. You know, that it's like, we had this player who could have been, you know, one of the best.
As good as anybody. Yeah.
And
could Dennis do? You couldn't say, right, I'm put in a sauna for a week. You know, and I'll come back next week and open it up. You know, it was up to him. It's like everything. It's up to you, the individual, to get it right. And I couldn't put an overweight Kieran Brady on the bench. And it was sad because he had the ability to, like, unlock good defenders, you know, a good defence. So that was... And Bernie... You know, I love Bernie to bits because I played with him at York and he was, well, I remember he used to feign him, Dennis, because he used to try and nutmeg everybody. And Den started feigning him, you know, because he'd overdo it. Like, you'd go on a run and try and nutmeg at least three. And Den started feigning him if he didn't square it across the box for people to put it in the net and stuff like that. And it was the best thing ever happened to him, you know. But I do remember before Dennis came, the manager was a caretaker manager called Kevin Randall, and he played for Chesterfield for years. He was a good lad, good bloke. And we played at Crewe, and Bernie come on as a sub. And you know the chance he missed at Wembley, where he just miscued it?
Yeah.
He did that against Crewe. We're getting beat 1-0, and the manager accused him of missing on purpose. right? And he was only like 18, I think, and I was saying, no, no, Gaffer, he didn't miss it on purpose, you know. He wouldn't do that. He did. And he's like, we're in the changing room arguing. I said, no, he wouldn't do it. And I was sticking up for Bernie. And I think he did that at Wembley. He did it on purpose against me.
Yeah. Oh, what could have been? I remember going up, like I say, I was gutted that I couldn't get a ticket, because it was the only season we didn't have season tickets, and I went every cup game apart from the final.
Yeah, it's a shame, right?
I know.
It was a rubbish game, wasn't it? So.
But even watching it in that burn chance, the house went up, because people thought it was in at first when it left his foot, and then it skewed, I can't remember, skewed wide or something like that, didn't it?
Yeah.
But that, it's a shame the FA Cup doesn't sort of carry that same prestige anymore now. It doesn't appear to anywhere, but that you've said you don't watch it back or you don't think about it too much, but that whole day and the occasion and everything must just be amazing that you can live with that and take that memory.
Well, it was amazing, but the biggest thing is you've got to win it.
Yeah.
And that's the, you know, if somebody said, if you weren't a Sunderland fan, you know, on your North East, nobody would know, like, who I managed in 1992 in a cup final, you know. And lost, they probably remember who won it. Probably a lot of people don't remember who lost it. And that was the sad, you've got to win it, you know, and that was a massive, like, disappointment. I mean, they'd done fantastic to get there, and it was a fantastic achievement. Don't get me wrong, it's not easy. People say, oh, you know, you only have to play, like, six games and you're there, whatever. Well, we had more than six games, really.
Against better teams as well.
I played three, you know. Four top flight teams in the final four rounds. Yeah. So,
you know, it's difficult to get there. The cup now, I don't like this business where the top teams, they play half a team or whatever, and then, you know, they end up getting beat. And it basically tells you that it's not that as important, which is sad, because really, the top teams should be wanting to win the FA Cup still. And I think, you know, yeah, they've got a lot of talented players, these top clubs, but, you know, put your best team out. You've probably got a week's rest after beating somebody, you know, or get 3-0 up and put your subs on, give them a game.
You don't get a statue built outside of a stadium for you if you beat Stoke away on a Tuesday night, do you?
No, exactly. So, you know, it was a massive thing, but that was the biggest blow, you know. Mm. You don't win it, and I think after the game, I'm sure the players got given winners' medals.
Yeah, they did.
Because I said to Rushy, which was not a good one, like, when I said to Rushy, you've got a winners' medal, I thought he'd be straight off up the road with it. That's just a bit of hand that back. Yeah, it was, how can you get that wrong?
I know.
He must have had a few red wines, whoever dished the medals out that day.
You're permanent manager now, and it just seemed remarkable at the time that Sunderland didn't complete this story and win the cup, because it seemed like the stars were aligned, it was going to happen. Burn missed that chance, but we didn't, and we lost the game. When did you start to think about the following season after that? I guess the correct answer in football terms would be, oh, the next day, but you're human as well, and you've got a disappointment to come down from.
Well, we went away, had a week away with the team, and Bob Murray was brilliant. He said, you can take them anywhere you want in the world for a week. And they all went, we want to go to Magaluf. And I was like, I can't believe this. I had a nice holiday planned somewhere really nice. And I let the players decide, you know, they'd done the work. And Bob was brilliant. And when they said Magaluf, like, I was like, oh my God. So basically, I was babysitting that week for all the crew. And then obviously you come back and you start planning your season. And I had Roger Jones working with me, who, Roger was a great mate of mine, and again, he'd played at York, and he was a big mate of Dennis and Vibbs, Roger Jones, but he wasn't a coach as such. So I needed a coach, and I wanted George Armstrong. And so that was my first move. I needed to get a coach in to help me. And George, I had high regards, you know, he was a great fella. But I'd only been given a one-year contract, and that was a stumbling block for me, because really, you know, as a manager, you need more than 1 year. And
George said, look, I'm at Arsenal. I'm here for like next 3 years, taking the reserves. I'm not going to come to Sunderland for 1 year. So that was that one out of the way. Then I went and got Bobby Ferguson, who I knew from Q8. Both of them worked in Q8, and I met him there. And funny enough, George Heard, he was out there as well when I first went to Q8, ex-Sunderland. But Bobby came in, and Bobby had been a top coach. But he'd lost that, you know, he'd been a top coach and manager at Ipswich, but he'd lost that high energy that he had. And I probably, God bless him, you know, he's passed away now, but I probably should have just stuck to what I was doing. Kept and just worked on my own and did the coaching, but I think it might have been too much for me. Mm. But possibly I should have given myself a bit more time to see about getting somebody in.
This is your first transfer window, I guess, as a manager, because you've always been a coach up until this point, and now you've got to start thinking about signing players. Is that something that you enjoyed or come natural to you, or you brought John Calhoun in from Millwall, which cost 400,000 around at that point ish
I'm not sure if he cost that much.
I can't remember how much he cost. He didn't turn out to be a good signing for centre forward, particularly. Didn't score goals, but you know, like most managers, you don't know this at the time. You think you're making the right decision. What was interesting was a couple of months later, John Byrne went the other way.
Well, going back to John Calhoun, I thought as time went on, I thought he was playing really well, and then he got a really bad back injury, and I think he was out for the rest of the season, if I remember rightly. So I lost him. Bernie, he decided, you know, it was like anything. He wanted a better contract. I felt they'd offered him a decent contract. I couldn't argue with that one. And he wasn't having it. Obviously, Millwall wanted him. Made his mind up he wanted to go to Millwall, so I wasn't going to stand in his way if he wasn't happy. We got money for him, and he went to Millwall, and obviously it was a disaster for him. And he regrets it, because I still speak to him.
I think most Sunderland fans do. It's such a shame that his career was so short at Sunderland, because he was very, very popular in the stands, wasn't he?
Dennis had been trying to get him as well, hadn't he, before
previously,
then?
Yeah.
So, you know, it always felt as, you know, he was going to get here one way or the other, but didn't stay very long, obviously.
Well, he knew he was popular. He knew everybody loved him, you know. And why wouldn't you stay at a club like a big, big club? Millwall's a good club and a big club because it's got a good stadium and everything. But it's not as big as Sunderland, you know. And I don't know how much money John got when he went to Millwall. I wasn't interested. If he wasn't happy and he wanted to leave, then as long as I got a fee for him, and I will go elsewhere, you know. And it was a shame. And I could never understand players leaving Sunderland and going to smaller clubs. And it's probably, at the end of the day, it's probably because they're getting a little bit more money.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You make another signing that summer, and this might have been where you used your Ferguson connection, but Terry Butcher had been retired for a few months. He'd, this is Terry Butcher as well. not at the height of his fame, but this is only 2 years after Italian 90. So Terry Butcher's a very famous person in the world of football. He'd been to Coventry as player manager. That hadn't worked out for him there. He hadn't been playing. And then you go and have a chat with him and decide to bring him in?
Well, Bobby obviously, recommended him, and we did bring him in. And in all honesty, Terry, when he started playing for us, I thought he did really well. I think he'd had big problems with his knees, I think. But we were managing that. And, all right, I know what happened later on, but bringing him in, I felt that he did quite a good job for the team.
The fans liked him, and he would, after any win, he would go to the fans and he would raise his arms and try and get all the fans to give the all air cheers and stuff like that. My dad at the time, I was 11, said he's after the manager's job, him.
Well, you can't blame him. We're all in football, and I can't blame Terry Butcher for wanting the Sunderland job, because everybody wanted it.
Did you sense it when he was playing at all?
I didn't sense it when he was playing. I sensed it when he was going up to the crowd every game. Mm. But that didn't happen that often. If they lost, I didn't see as much enthusiasm from him then, if we'd lost the game. But he did. He was good with the crowd. And as a supporter, if you get players like that, it's quite nice as a supporter to have a player do that, really. So it didn't bother me. At the end of the day, if someone wants to get rid of me because Terry Butcher's getting the crowd behind him, I can't do anything about that. And I wasn't going to turn around to Terry Butcher and say, don't do that. Because the next thing would be, why? And I'm not going to turn around and say, because you're after my job.
I wanted that conversation to have happened.
I know, but I wasn't going to do it. And it's not me makeup to whinge up about something like that. The only problem I had with Terry Butcher, and it wasn't really his problem, Bobby Ferguson used to tell the players every day how brilliant he was, or how brilliant he'd been. And I had to have a chat with Bobby and say, Bobby, you can't keep telling the lads, Butcher did this, Butcher did that, because poor Terry Butcher's here and he's trying to play and you're telling him how brilliant he was, but that was 6 years ago or whatever, whatever the time was. And he had been a top player, hadn't he? But that was a bit history, not in the present when he was playing for Sunderland.
It's interesting that you said you never confronted him or challenged him on it, but it's interesting that it was going through your mind when he was doing this whole theatrical performance at the end of the game and stuff like that. Not directly, where you think, "All right, he's after my job," but it was a cue. If my dad, who was probably a similar age to you at the time, was thinking it, then a lot of people must have been thinking it.
I would have thought the whole crowd were, apart from
you.
Yeah, I was 11, so I didn't know what was going on.
You didn't care, yeah. I just think I would have probably seen it start, but I'd have probably been up the tunnel by then and in the changing room. And it wasn't something that... I think I had more pressing issues than that, trying to win games. So, no, it didn't. It was just... Bobby used to tell... It was always tell you this, tell you that, and the players, you could see them, and I had to have words with them about it. And it wasn't Butcher's fault, that.
A couple of... games that stand out in that season for different reasons. So one is one that I would just want to erase from my memory as much as possible, hence be bringing it up now, so that's not going to help. That was 6-0 lost to West Ham, which was a tough one, because that was on live on telly, I remember.
And, was it 6-0?
I think it was 6-0, yeah.
You've erased different memories as well.
It was 6-1. That was a nightmare, because we were doing all right, and then Dodden Gunman got a cut or something, and he came off. And then that 10 minutes, that scored two, I think. So we'd gone from 0-0, playing quite well, and then Don came back on, we were 2-0 down, and then it just got worse. Talk about getting a revenge result, after beating them in the cup. And it was, everybody has it in football where you get a bit of a hammering, but yeah, it wasn't nice at all, and... You have to just take it on the chin, don't you? As a manager, you have to accept it and try and work your way around it, you know.
You pulled us up a little bit from that point because you won a few games, three games in a row that I can see in November. So by the time the new year was coming round, we were sort of mid-table.
Can't believe you never mentioned the games that we won. Like you just said, we won three. After getting beat 6-0,
do you want to know them specifically?
Go on, then. I can't remember.
Let me have a look where we are. win Derby away 1-0.
Oh yeah.
Southend away 1-0. Barnsley at home 2-1.
Right.
Mickey Gray scored after about 30 seconds that Barnsley game.
I missed it. Was that his debut? No,
it was his home debut.
Yeah, his home debut, and I missed it. I was coming out down the tunnel. Everyone was going mental. And I'm like, Mickey Gray's just scored with a volley, wasn't it? I went, all right, good, that's good. That's nice. Good start. And he was a great kid, wasn't he? Mm. Mickey Gray.
So he's another one you'll have had at the youth team and made the decision to bring him in.
Well, a lot of these players were down to Jim Morrow. He was the youth development, if you like, officer. And Jim was the lad. Jim Morrow was the fella who brought all them players in, you know, and he did a fantastic job, and he doesn't probably get enough credit for it. He'd been like an England, he'd been a teacher, and he'd worked with England schools for years and everything, and he was, you know, he knew a good young player. And he brought Rushy in, he brought Mickey Gray in from different clubs, you know, Notts County and Man United. And all them players that were there, he'd been involved in bringing them in. So a lot of it, all right, I worked with them and coached them, but Jim was the person who brought them in.
By the time Christmas goes, we go out in the FA Cup, we beat Notts County in round three away. I remember that game as well. We lost to Sheffield Wednesday away. Can you remember what happened with our winning goal in that game?
Tony Norman dropped the ball right in front of the striker.
Mark Bright.
The last minute.
Yeah.
Oh, injury time.
Yeah.
I can't remember it now.
So that's at Hillsborough.
I can obviously remember everything.
We played at Hillsborough the year before the semi-final, obviously, and we went to Sheffield Wednesday, and we took thousands down that game. Right. And we played well as well.
We were very good.
Yeah, and that was what, I think, wasn't there a fanzine named It's an Easy One for Norman or something?
I think there might
that
have
was
been
referenced to that, yeah, moment, yeah. Because I think the commentator actually said, oh, that, and that's an easy one for Norman, and then he dropped it. It was Mark Bright, wasn't it?
Yeah,
and he dropped it right onto his head.
And to be fair, he came in, he was in tears, Tony, you know. I think I was as well. But because we'd, you know, we were off and up and running again, we thought we had a draw, we're taking them back to Sunderland, and it wasn't to be. It was like a real blow, that was. It was so simple a catch, you know, nobody putting them under any pressure. But you know, when you've got players, they don't do it on purpose. So
there's only one more game for you after that, Morgan.
Is there?
We lose that, and then we lose at home to Watford 2-1.
Yeah.
And then the decision comes 1st of February, I believe.
Yeah.
Not that you probably want to etch that date in your mind or anything. Were you expecting it at the time?
I must have been thinking about it because, you know, we hadn't done very well. So, you know, it wasn't easy for everybody. And I remember we went to Tranmere, didn't we? To play Tranmere. Mm. And it was called off, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And Terry Butcher dropped me off. He was going back to Ipswich where he lived. And I said, I won't go back on the coach. I'll go and watch a game. So I went to Crewe. He dropped me off at Crewe, and I watched Crewe, and then I had to get a train back, and I got back at like 12 o'clock at night or something on a Saturday night, changed about twice, I think, trains, and then eventually got home. And then on the Monday morning, it was a bad result because the game had called off and I'd got the sack, yeah.
So this
you
was
lost on the pool. You
pools.
Got lost on the pool.
It was a home
panel.
Win.
And
they give a home win. It's a great quiz question, isn't it? Everyone always. But it was. And Bob didn't sack me, like, he didn't come and sack me. It was, I think, Jeff Davison, one of the directors. So it was disappointing Bob didn't have it.
Didn't even call you or anything, though?
No. Yeah.
So this was face to face, one of his directors called you in for a meeting?
It was Jeff Davison and one of the directors. I'm trying to think who it was. I can't quite remember, but that's, you know, it doesn't really matter who tells you in a way, because they're telling you you're being sacked, aren't you? So,
did you know who they were going to give it to? I think everybody did, didn't they?
Your dad did.
Well, I knew what was going to happen, yeah. As soon as I left, I knew that. Well, I think they announced him a few hours later, didn't they?
So Terry might have been in the car with you and he might have known.
Possibly. Possibly, that's why he probably gave me the lift. Dropped me off outside the ground.
He's like, are you sure you want to go to this game? Are you positive? I'll just take you home.
Yeah. So, well, you know, it was all obviously set up. But most jobs are set up, aren't they? You know, when people get the sack, normally people have somebody in mind that, you know, like you said, Neil Warnock was always going to get the job here. And Neil in his book said, at the time, I didn't want to take the job because I was my mate. And he was doing all right, so... And then, if you remember, we beat Notts County in that FA Cup game.
Yeah.
And Neil got the sack after that.
Right.
So I was getting all my mates the sack. And, you know, it's a rough, it's tough, isn't it, at times?
That can only end one way, can't it? Unless you're Alex Ferguson or Arsene Wenger, someone like that who's winning every week. It can only end one way, doesn't it? You know it's going to end, it usually ends negatively.
Yeah, you know, when you take a job on in football, you know there's going to eventually one day where you're going to have a bad time and you're going to lose your job. I just, you know, the only things I regret are not having longer. You know, to be given a year doesn't really give supporters or me a lot of, it doesn't give you the confidence to say, well, you know, I've earned a year's not really enough. A year's not enough. And, you know, at times you do need to be given a longer contract, even though they might still sack you early, but it gives you that a bit more confidence.
Did you always feel maybe there was a reluctance then from Bob to give you the job? Obviously, you're saying the fans influenced it a lot, but so long before they give you the contract, your contract, that sacking you quite quickly?
Well, I don't think we have to blame just Bob, you know, because when you're the chairman, but you've got a board of directors as well, so it's a group thing.
Yeah.
You know, and it wasn't done very well when they gave me the job. You know, I was like, I was at Blackburn and they said, oh, we're going to announce it in a hotel in Blackburn. And I was like, well, we're preparing for the game. And it didn't seem right the way they did it. You know, it should have been done here at Roker Park. And it wasn't, but you have to remember, all right, Bob, I'm sure I had the final say, but there's a board as well. Yeah. And, you know, they could have all agreed, yeah, let's do it. Let's move them on and get somebody else. And obviously having Terry Butcher around, it made the job probably a bit easier for them.
Do you have... It was a quick whirlwind of a spell in charge, I guess, or a year more or less, in charge, FA Cup final. It's obviously the club you supported, and I can only imagine that you look back generally quite fondly at the whole thing. Is there anything you regret or wish you'd done differently? Or you think things might have been different for you if I'd just done that or I'd just done this?
Well, I think that my biggest regret, and it's a bit harsh on me saying this, but, you know, I should have got maybe someone a bit younger as me right-hand man. Because Bobby was at an age where, you know, I think he sort of lost that energy that he obviously had when he was working with Ipswich for years, you know, because there was no doubt about it, he'd been a top coach. And losing Paul Bracewell was the biggest regret. And I should have had more help on that one. And that one was a big disappointment. And even more so when you go to Newcastle United and leave Sunderland, and, you know, I'm up against Kevin Keegan, which didn't help, because Kevin was bringing all these players in, and we're 10 mile up the road, and we're not being allowed to bring these players in. And I love Kevin Keegan to bits, you know, he's a fantastic fella. But Brace, I was desperate to keep him. He'd been fantastic. When I had Roger Jones, and like I said, Roger wasn't doing the coaching, I was doing it all, and Roger was a big help in the office, Brace was brilliant. he was the key in the changing room, you know. So I'd get Brace in, this, how's it going, blah, 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 right. Brace would go down, explain what's going on. I didn't have to be there all the time. Let them have their own environment, and he was fantastic. And he earned that. He deserved a two-year deal, you know, and it's not a big thing, a two-year contract. And Bob just dug his heels in, and he wouldn't give him a two-year. It was 1 year, and that was it.
Do you think he called his bluff and thought that Paul Brace, well, he's not going to move to Newcastle from Sunderland? Do you think there was an element of that?
Do you know, I wouldn't know what he was thinking. I couldn't tell you what he was thinking. And he just dug his heels in. It wasn't going to be a two-year. And he had an agent, and his agent was trying to get the 2 years as well, and I was trying to get it. And the thing was, Bracewell had been fantastic for me.
Played in the Premier League four years later. I mean, it came back.
Yeah. Why were we letting somebody go who had such a big influence on the team? You know, and that was like, made it really, really hard for me as a manager, because I'd lost a top player. And then, all right, if he'd have gone off to Hull City or somewhere, but to go off to Newcastle United and then do so well, the next thing, like, they're winning the league, and he's the captain, wasn't he, Brace?
Yeah. That probably didn't help your cause either that season, Newcastle doing so well. Because you try not make those comparisons, but you can't help it. And this was when the Premier League had just been formed and it was getting a lot of interest. And Newcastle, I mean, they smashed the league that season, didn't they? And that doesn't help as a Sunderland fan, because it's almost like your face is rubbed in on a daily basis.
It was like around then when I started going, and I remember, you know, being at school, and like, it was like there was a few Sunderland fans. And, you know, it was like, because it was Keegan, you know, kids of our age, it was like, now we were all going to go and support Newcastle.
Yeah,
and it was
just
like, it's all that went on about, you
well,
know.
Well, there's not in Sunderland, though.
Well, it was in Shiny Row.
I just want to clarify in case people listening think Sunderland fans would just go off and start supporting Newcastle.
It's a borderline place.
The Kevin Durham thing.
It doesn't help, though, you know, when Kevin comes. Well, I mean, he just kept them up, didn't he?
Yeah, the season before that, yeah.
Yeah, they just stayed up, you know, they were even worse off than we were. And had he not come in, I think they probably would have got relegated. You know, I think he'd give them that lift. And obviously then, they were buying lots of players, and good players. And it didn't help, because they're top of the league and you're like struggling, you know, so it was. And when you've got your ex-captain playing for them, and they're winning every week, you know, it was tough to take. So that was probably the biggest regret, losing Brace.
And John Byrne missing that chance in the final. Yeah.
What chance was that?
The one he missed on purpose.
I mean, there's not, like you say, though, how can you affect that situation apart from storming and going, listen, if you get rid of him, then I'm going to go or something like that. I mean, what can you do, you know?
I know. I remember loads and loads of coaches and managers ringing me up when it was rumoured I was going to get this 1 year deal. And they were like saying, don't take it, you know, you'll get a job, someone will give you a really good job for what's gone on. And of course, like, you're like, nah, I'm a Sunderland supporter, you know, why do I want to lose the opportunity there? And I might end up going, I don't know, I might have ended up getting a job wherever, but you don't turn the opportunity down. Whether people wanted you to have it or not, I wasn't going to turn it down. So, I probably would have got a better deal somewhere else at the time because of what was going on and the results, but, you know, you want to be manager of Sunderland. And yesterday I'm at the game, 30,000, and it's just a fantastic club, and you're just hoping, you know, as a supporter, that they kick on. We seem to have a stable manager, which is great. Who's like an organised manager, and you've got some good young talent as well. So I just hope things improve. You know, you need 40,000, 45,000, don't you? Because it's like anything. The higher you go, the more money you have to spend to make your team better. You've got to get better quality all the time, and that becomes expensive.
Okay, we'd like to thank you for your time and joining us. It's been a pleasure speaking to you.
Well, it's been great. Eventually we did it. but it's great to meet you both, and hopefully, you know, we'll keep in touch.
Absolutely.
That's good.
Thank you very much.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.